You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. This is episode 20. I'm Beth Ann Schwamberger, and today on the show, I'll talk to you about pricing your products, five tips that could increase your sales and revenue. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you're having a great day. This is Beth Ann Schwamberger here. And today I'm going to focus on a topic that I think is so important for mom entrepreneurs, because I feel like more than any other demographic, we get this wrong very often. And that is pricing our products. What I'm not going to do on the show today is give you a clear-cut formula that says if you sell handmade pillows, you should charge $40 for those. That's not what I'm going to do. There are plenty of pricing formulas out there, whether you're a photographer or an Etsy seller, and those are all things that you need to consider. But what I'm going to do is kind of dig a bit into the psychology behind pricing and kind of maybe turn a few of your theories on their heads so that you can understand why increasing your price could be the best thing you ever did for your business. Okay, so let's get started with our five tips here. The first tip is to focus on time instead of money when you're selling your products. When you talk about money and just talk about the savings people might have or that you're running a sale, that can honestly often cheapen your product. I mean, why do you need to have a sale if your product is really fabulous and it's worth every penny? So sometimes you can undervalue your product with a sale. Now, granted, there are brands like JCPenney who live on sales and their customers have come to expect those sales. So if sales are a huge part or discounting is a huge part of your brand, okay, fine. But for the rest of us who are just a tiny one-man show, a little mom business, don't make sales a big part of your business. Let me get into here the psychology behind focusing on time instead of money. There was a study done by Stanford Graduate School of Business researchers Jennifer Aker and Cassie Mulgener, and they say that our relationship with time is more personal than our relationship with money. It's a more scarce resource, of course, because you can save money, but time is time. There is a limited amount of time. I suppose you could say you could save time by being more efficient with things, but in terms of getting more time, there's no way to get more time, whereas you could earn more money. And then also they say that for most of us, how we spend our time plays a much bigger role in our identity compared to how we spend our money. Now, the only market where this isn't the case is if you're in the prestige market. If you are marketing to the super rich who want to say that they spent $100,000 on their fancy new sports car, fine. Then for them, how they spent their money is that big factor. But for the average everyday person, my identity, I know, is wrapped up way more in how I spend my time compared to my money. I mean, I can think about a typical day and spending time with my son, Holden, and the fun things we do together and the memories that we're making, or spending time with my husband, with my friends, with my sister growing the business. Those to me are so much more important than just saying, yeah, I spent my money at J. Crew on a sale because, you know, they had a cute skirt. I mean, that doesn't really factor into my identity very much. Another theory that they talk about is that references to money will always be negative because consumers are reminded of the cost of acquiring that product rather than the pleasure of consuming it. Whereas if you focus on time, again, you're tapping into that emotional factor. You're tapping into the fact that your product could be an experience for your customers. It could be a memory that lasts forever. And I know Sarah and I really have tried to focus on this with our terrarium kits, because what we found is a lot of our fans say that they create the kits with their children. And so it's not just the product that sits on a shelf, it's the fact that they had a great time creating a memorable experience with their kids, and they learned something in the process, they bonded. So focusing on time can be so valuable. Okay, but let me jump into this study that Aker and Mulgener did, and I'll link to the full text of their studies because there's actually two other parts that I don't have time to mention here. But don't worry, head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/20, and you'll find the show notes with links to everything I'm talking about here. Okay, so what these two researchers did was survey attendees at an outdoor music concert in San Francisco. The concert was free, but people had to wait in line for long periods of time in order to get seats for the concert. So the researchers asked random individuals, how much time will you have spent to see the concert today? Or they would ask, how much money will you have spent to see the concert today? Even though the concert was free, when they mentioned time instead of money, the participants had more favorable attitudes towards a concert. So that subtle suggestion of spending time actually significantly improved the surveyors, what they reported were their attitudes towards a concert. So that mention of time gave them a more positive attitude towards that product that they were using, essentially in this case being the concert. So people who stood in line longer, who actually, in essence, had a higher cost in terms of time spent, they actually rated their satisfaction with the concert higher than others. So waiting is supposed to be a bad thing. You know, they wasted time. But for whatever reason, spending more time, investing more time in that experience, it gave them a more positive attitude about it. Okay, so that's tip number one. Don't focus on money. Don't focus on the deal. Focus on time. Focus on how your product can be an experience. And, you know, whether you are making a handmade product or you are offering consulting services or photography services, that time that individuals spend using your service, using your product, that can be really memorable. That can be special. How can you tap into their emotions and talk about the time they spent? Okay, tip number two, make it personal. More and more people are connecting to other people, not to businesses. I think we're all getting tired of the huge corporations, the huge no-name brands, and we are all seeking out those smaller businesses and individuals that we can support. So you need to connect the customer to you, not necessarily your brand. Connect them to you. Tell your story. Explain to them why you're unique. And I have to say, recently, Sarah and I were reaching out to someone new to interview on our podcast, and I checked out her About Us page, and guys, I was sucked in. This particular individual is a legal consultant for small businesses, so you might assume that her About Me page would be kind of bland, kind of not very creative. You might assume that as a legal consultant, it's a little bit harder to create that personal relationship with your customers. It seems like a more cut and dry field. But you know what? This particular businesswoman created the most beautiful story. She started with the whole process of how she created her dream career and how she found her calling in providing legal consulting to small businesses. And I was sucked in. I could not stop reading her story. And in the process, I felt like I really got to know her. And so you can guarantee that when Sarah and I need some legal consulting for a business, we are going straight to her because now I feel like I know her as a person. She's not just a brand. She's not just another lawyer. And you can do this in whatever business you're in. I mean, my goodness, if she can do it in the legal field, I know you can do it with your handmade soaps or with your photography. And another example I want to give in terms of making it personal is recently our sister-in-law, Abby Lawson, who launched her ebook on how she built her blog in the first year. We'll have a link to that again in our show notes. But Donnie, Abby's husband, who works with her on the blog, he wrote a post on the strategy of pricing that they used for that ebook. Now, I won't go into all the details. They used actually pay what you want pricing, which is really interesting. And there are a lot of points Donnie mentions, and I'll link to his article. But the one thing I wanted to mention here for those of us who are using traditional pricing is Donnie stated that he felt the reason why people were willing to pay more than that minimum price for Abby's ebook is because they had a personal connection with her. Many of Abby's customers were people who had read her blog for quite a while, many of them were people who'd actually benefited from Abby's help and Abby's advice in the blogging realm. So there was no way they were going to pay the minimum price of a dollar. And many of them actually chose to pay above the suggested price of $24 because they felt like they've already gotten so much value from Abby. They love her. They support her. They think she's fabulous and they're going to pay more for that. So again, as a small business owner, you have the best opportunity to make your business personal and let your customers get to know you and connect with you. Okay, tip number three is that context matters. And I'm going to talk specifically about the perceived value that you can give your product based on the price. And this is why underselling yourself is a terrible idea. And I'm not saying I haven't done it before, but when you learn about the psychology here, you will never want to undercut your price again. You are worth more and you need to factor in your time, your money spent, but more than that, you need to factor in the fact that if you charge more, people value your product more. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon here, but let me talk a bit about the concept of price anchoring and concept. Okay, so lots and lots of retailers are using this idea of an anchor price to influence your purchase decision. So what they'll do is offer you a really high priced product. Then they offer you a slightly lower priced option. So suddenly that lower priced option seems like, oh, yeah, this is a great deal. It might not actually be a great deal, but the low price compared to the high priced option, which the high price being the anchor, it makes that lower price instantly desirable. Had you not seen that higher priced item though, you might have thought the second price was high. Let me give an example because I feel like this is a little bit hard to explain on a podcast. So you walk into J.Crew. You see a skirt for $75. It's adorable. You love it. But $75, that's a little more than you would usually spend on a skirt. Then you see a really fabulous skirt for $125. Now that $75 skirt is looking pretty nice. It's looking like a pretty good deal. Let me give another example. This isn't quite price anchoring, but it's this whole concept of how context matters. So there's this case study from the book Influence. And in the case study, they talk about how a local jeweler managed to sell out of turquoise jewelry because it was accidentally priced at double its initial price. What the jeweler intended to do was actually discount the turquoise jewelry. The turquoise jewelry had not been selling well, so he was going to cut the price in half and see if he could drive sales that way by having a cheaper price. But somehow a mistake was made and someone decided to double the price of all the turquoise jewelry. Do you know what happened? Rather than people look at it and say, I didn't buy it before, of course I'm not going to buy it now at double the price. No, that's not what happened at all. The inflated price made the turquoise jewelry irresistible to buyers. Before, they ignored the color over the other ones. They didn't think there's anything special about it. But when the price was raised, the turquoise jewelry now has a high value in the buyer's mind, even without an explanation. So this is something to think about too. If there's an item in your shop that's not selling well, and of course you need to look at the reasons why it's not selling well, but if it seems to be just a matter of taste and it's still an item that you feel like, okay, the quality is decent here, there's nothing I need to be embarrassed about with this product, it's just that it's not getting a lot of attention. Instead of cutting that price in half, try doubling that price and see what happens. See how your customers will pay attention to that item and give it more value. And I actually heard another story of a famous brand who did this early on when they were getting started. And this is the founders of Banana Republic. They found a cheap safari jacket when they were on vacation in Australia, decided to buy a bunch of clothing in bulk from other countries. They went to a flea market. They priced their shirts initially at a pretty affordable price, and they really didn't see a lot of attention, a lot of sales. The next weekend at the flea market, they doubled the price. And do you know what? they more than doubled their sales. So you can see where increasing the price, you might be worried that you'll lose sales, but you know what could happen instead? Doubling the price could not only increase the number of sales, but think about it, you just doubled how much you're making off of each sale. So think about this psychological principle when you're pricing your products. I know that as a mom in business, it's easy to just compare yourself to everyone else out there and say, and also to put yourself down and say, well, maybe I'm not as good. Maybe I can't swing that price. Don't do that. Increase your price. You are worth it. By increasing that price, you could get more attention on your product and more perceived value for that product. Now, of course, there's something to be said for the quality, for the amount of skill that you're bringing to that product. But if you feel like it's there, and let's say even if you don't, but your customers and your fans feel like it's there, then do it. Increase your price and just wait and see what happens. Okay, and piggybacking along that thought of context when it comes to pricing, when in doubt as to lowering the price of your product or adding value to that product instead, add value. Make a unique offer or add-on to that product that far outweighs any perceived sense of your product being maybe less quality or you maybe have less skill at this point as a photographer. Don't cheapen your product by lowering the price. What you can do instead to compete with those artisans perhaps who you think have more skill or those photographers who've maybe been in business longer, they've got more experience and more skill. What can you offer though that adds value to your product so that you can compete? For example, as a photographer, perhaps you take newborn photos and you are the baby whisperer. You have this special knack for getting babies in the perfect pose, getting them to stay calm. You are a people person and you're amazing at working with parents and helping them to feel comfortable. Perhaps you're great at teaching. And so when you're getting them ready for the shoot, you're really good explaining what to expect and helping prepare them for an excellent experience. Perhaps there are bonus products that you can offer after the photo shoot is done. Perhaps you can offer a few extra prints or a really fabulous little brag book that is a bonus that the parents can send to the new grandparents or whatever the case may be. There is always something that you can do to your product to add value to it and thereby making your price worth it. Don't sell yourself short. You have something unique to offer, so just add more value. Don't cut your prices. So the last tip here, tip number 5, is avoid option overload. So this is the principle of analysis paralysis. Let me give you an example. This is my dad in every parking lot ever. If there is more than one choice of where to park, my dad will circle and swing around and weigh this option. Is this one closer? But this one means I don't have to cross over as many aisles. Oh, I can't decide. Let me swing around and circle one more time. And before you know it, 20 minutes have gone by and you're thinking, Dad, if we just had pulled into the first spot we saw and walked into the store, it would have saved us more time. So the analysis paralysis principle, you see this all the time in real life. And sorry to pick on you, Dad, but that was just a great example that I could think of the way that sometimes too much information and too many choices can be a bad thing. So let me tell you about a famous experiment that will illustrate this concept. This was in the year 2000. Researchers S.S. Iyengar and M.R. Lepper conducted a study in a supermarket. So shoppers could sample different flavors of a jam that were available for purchase. The test compared the impact of varying the number of choices between 24 choices or 6 choices. In the case of 24 options, only 3% of those who tasted the sample went on to purchase the jam. In the case of having only 6 options of jam to sample, 30% of those who sampled went on to purchase a jam. So too many options just became overwhelming to the customer. And let's face it, if we're feeling overwhelmed, if we're feeling stressed, if something is taking up too much of our time, we're just going to say forget it and walk away. So when you're pricing your products, you need to avoid distractions. And I've heard that what you want to do is have three streamlined packages, that's really the best way to price your products. And you can make it up to maybe five different packages or five different service groups. Now, as an Etsy shop owner, you might be thinking, this is not possible, nor is it even practical in terms of trying to get SEO to work for your Etsy shop. You need a lot of products, right? I mean, you need a lot of different ways for people to come and find your shop, which is true for the most part. But even on Etsy, what you can do is group your products into three to five core groups of products. So perhaps you sell artistic photo prints on Etsy. Try to limit your products to five different groupings in your shop. Perhaps you have a nature photo section. Perhaps you have a home interior section. Perhaps you have an inspirational quote section. But try to see if you can group those products together to really narrow the job of your customers having to search and look through hundreds and hundreds of options. And of course, if you're in a different business or you have your own website, it makes it much easier to really group your services together, to bring them into a bundle so that it simplifies that for your customer and they really are just looking at three or to five different options, different bundles of services available. Okay, so those are the five tips I have for you today on how you can increase your sales and your revenue. Let me just go through them real quick. Tip number one is focus on time instead of money. Tip number two, make it personal. Tip number three, context matters in terms of perceived value based on increased price and on using an anchor. Tip number four, when in doubt as to lowering price or adding value, add value. And tip number five, avoid option overload. Well, that's all I have for you guys today. Head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/20 for the show notes, the links to all these great studies up on our website. And if you enjoy the show, if you've gotten something of value here, if you're implementing it to help grow your business, one, we would love to hear about it. We love hearing from our fans. We think you guys are just the best of the best in the world. You're awesome. Business moms in general are just the coolest, most creative, most motivated bunch of people in the world. And number two, we'd love it if you could leave us a rating and review in iTunes. And we have a link on our website that'll show you how to do that if you're at all confused. So thanks again for tuning in. Hope you guys have an awesome day. And now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.